Laptop video distribution has made the world of piracy a very profitable place to be. Unfortunately, this is not necessarily the case for the legitimate content owners and their distribution channel partners. With release window shrinking, pirates have access to high-res video much earlier in the production cycle. With this and the continued rise of in popularity of streaming media, it's left the industry with a question: what is my strategy going to be to combat video piracy? The old adage still applies: you can't monetize what you can't identify. It holds true, and in fact it's actually the crux of the issue. We need to develop a strategy. So how about we start by trawling pirate sites looking for our content? And if, or should I say when, we find it, we should take down notices to get it all removed. After that, we can continue monitoring those pirate sites, waiting for it to reappear, and then we're going to take it down again. And then again, and again, and you probably get what I mean. However, many of the links reappear, and we must keep on removing those. We have to keep removing those to reduce the availability of pirated content. But what have we actually learned about the actual source? Not really a lot. We don't know where the original leak came from. We don't know whether it's one source, multiple sources, same leak. Who can tell? The only way we can actually identify the actual source is from a digital watermark when there's one present. And now we've gone the wrong way. Digital watermarking, as you most likely know, is a signal that's embedded throughout the content. You can't hear it and you can't see it, but it travels with the video regardless of transformations. The watermark can be detected and used for tracking content across the web and tracing the source of the leak. Watermarking is the only proven method that actually deters piracy. Watermarks are used everywhere in the production cycle. Watermarking has been used since 2007 for digital cinema. Movie Labs has mandated watermarking for 4K and UHD content. The extensive use of promotional screeners in set-top boxes and over-the-top deliveries. Watermarks are everywhere. They come from different vendors, and they may even require different keys to be able to actually read them. It kind of might be nice if we could have a little peek inside the video, see which watermark has actually been there, and before we go, I wonder which one we should try and detect. We can just see what it is, and then we would know which mark we're actually looking for. What I would like to see is a watermarking identifier standard, easily, cheaply integrated by everybody in the supply chain. The identifier will only take a few seconds of video and give us a heartbeat. The heartbeat of the correct technology that will tell us which watermark is alive and detectable within that video stream. Now we've established the identity of the watermark in our video, how do we use this and implement real-time watermarking detection in our monitoring system, and what do we gain by doing so? I'd like to introduce you to my fellow panellists, Lawrence and Michael, from Adesso and MSI, both companies who uniquely offer watermarking and in-house web crawling products and services. Lawrence, perhaps you could start off by explaining what you do and everything would be great.
Okay, thank you. For the opportunity to speak on this panel, and everyone, thank you for getting up and joining us this morning. My name is Lawrence Lowe, I'm the VP of Business Development and Sales at Adesso. We are one of the most trusted and admired digital platform security providers, and we work with content creators and content distributors to protect their content and enable their business models and protect the creative process. Our solutions span from broadcast solutions and conditional access through DRM management and DRM delivery rights management, all the way through to watermark embedding and online tracking of that content. So we provide a 360-degree view of the content and enables everyone in the value chain to understand what's happening with the content and where it's being misused. So we're proud members of the Digital Watermarking Alliance and always looking to use watermarking as a technology to help further enhance the security solutions that we provide to the content production and distribution industry.
That was an excellent introduction once. My name is Michael Gamble from Media Science International. Media Science with our Red Capio and Studio CDN products. We specialize in 360-degree anti-piracy and business intelligence solutions for some of the world's most prominent brands and global content creators and distributors. My time at MSI, I handle pretty much everything on the client side, as well as the product side, and always just liaising between the company and the client, making sure that they're well taken care of and know how to use the products.
Perhaps, Lawrence, you can expand a little bit on the 360-degree approach and what this actually means in terms of real-time watermarking and how that would actually benefit.
Right, thanks, Rand. Yeah. The way that we have deployed watermarking solutions in our content protection systems has been in multiple areas. One is in a live broadcast system. We've done proof of concepts with our operator partners in the Middle East and North Africa, where for a high-profile live sporting event, we forensically watermark, we session-based watermark all the streams, and then there was piracy that came out of that system when we were able to detect that the specific user through the forensic watermark and shut that piracy event down within 30 minutes end to end. So this was during a soccer match, and this proves that with a 360-degree approach, with the correct positioning of watermarking in a live radio system, that we're able to have a very profound impact. So we also use distributor-based watermarking for some of our major studio customers, some of which are in the audience here today, and we're able to provide them with, again, a very specific, detailed information on how the piracy by source and enables them and us to make better decisions and better recommendations to combat piracy.
Yeah, that's actually very impressive. In the 30 minute takedown is shutting it down is very impressive. Just to kind of further on to the 360-degree anti-piracy concept, it's basically once you put an asset through a secure content delivery system such as our Studio CDM product, it automatically gets entered into our anti-piracy and business intelligence web crawling solution, so it automatically starts crawling for it. So typically, we crawl for it before the client even knows that there's a problem, as well as we're automatically starting to shoot takedowns before they even know that they have a leak. And then we obviously alert the client for that. The advantage of the 360-degree anti-piracy system is just that, where you don't have to think, you put the assets through, and we already the system already starts looking for it. It's a very enclosed system, and once it finds it, then it will decode for the watermark, and if it does detect the watermark, then it can also trace the system.
What I'd like to talk about is the success in the past of watermarking in general. The music business has been watermarking content probably longer than anybody else and to a much, much higher degree. In fact, it's been highly successful in reducing leaks for pre-release audio. I mean, you may not know this, but it's actually now become a rarity that albums are actually leaked before they're released. I mean, in terms of when we say the release, we actually mean before the CD's put on the truck to ship, because the moment it's on the truck, it's all bets are off. but it has actually almost eradicated is obviously not possible, but reduced dramatically, absolutely. How do you think we can actually apply this sort of philosophy to the video industry, and perhaps we can achieve the same sort of results? Lawrence?
That's right, Baron. I think it's examples of having watermarking needs to be pervasive along with other systems, whether it's digital rights management, whether it's conditional access, so that, it's an extension of the control of those systems, where if you detect someone in a timely manner who is misusing that content, then you're able to take that action to stop it in its tracks. And I think with what we're seeing with the proliferation of different technologies to to illegally stream content live, high quality, it's a threat to the fundamental business models of distributors and content creators worldwide. And we need to come up and use these situations as learning from the music industry, what we've seen with our customers in the Middle East with live sports, and make sure that we as an industry take that effort and be incredibly creative in creating that system to protect the content.
It's sometimes, we have piracy, but is it actually piracy in terms of, the traditional, what we see as piracy, or is it kind of like, redistribution of an asset? Perhaps, Michael, you could talk to us about the business intelligence side in terms of brands that are viewing it as piracy, but maybe not necessarily.
Sure. Yeah, so, when it comes to the 360-degree approach, we deal with a lot of brands that they don't necessarily want to take down their content. Some of them, I should say a lot, but we deal with a good deal that don't want to take down their content. Typically, brands that are looking for business intelligence solutions on media, they fall into two categories. One would be the brand that wants to take down any redistributed content to drive traffic to official channels. It's typically because they monetize. And then you have the other larger global brands that typically they don't want to do takedowns. They don't necessarily even want to drive to official channels. It's nice, but what they want to do is they want to track their assets across the web, and they want to know the who, what, when, where, and why, and how this was leaked, or why this asset came from, say, a major brand's YouTube channel, and now is redistributed across 40 other smaller channels that have maybe a few thousand subscribers. So we deal with brands on a day-to-day basis that, like I said, they don't want to take down. They just want to know who, what, when, where, and why. So we do play count tracking, we do subscriber tracking, we do all of these different things, and then we aggregate the analytics and statistics into one proper report. So many of these brands that are doing free streamable content for different departments of their media company can now track their KPIs across the web. So if they have one song that gets uploaded to official channel and gets redistributed to 40 channels, and out of those 40 channels they have another 10,000 plays, we have plenty of brands that just add that into their KPIs to show how successful their content is across the web. Because if it's free, who cares who's playing it as long as you can track it? And it also goes back to you can't monetize what you can't identify. So this is a way to identify. And if monetization is a factor, then they can monetize on other people's channel.
Okay. Lawrence, the social media-based piracy is becoming more prevalent. How is watermarking going to be used in the context of looking towards that? And will the concept of a heartbeat hidden inside there also help with that?
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing with Facebook Live and all these other platforms, I think what it means for watermarking and other technologies like that, it's really another channel to apply that technology to deal with threats as they evolve. So I think that for Facebook Live, the application of watermarking, the heartbeat, would be a natural extension. By deploying this technology with a robust a content protection system where the industry is going to be in a better position to adapt to Facebook Live and other threats as they emerge. And again, I think the important thing is to be doing something about it and to be thoughtful and to have a strategy that allows you to adapt in a very changeable environment.
Yeah, I agree. The strategy is extremely important there. In terms of combating social media piracy, the one challenge is actually getting the social network to play nice with you. So either implementing the watermarking standard or peering into private groups and stuff like that. Watermarking at the social media level for something like Facebook Live would be great because you do have live streaming movies on Facebook all the time, and then once they're done streaming live Facebook Live, then they're available for anybody to just continue watching. Typically, a lot of these movies end up getting ripped and put off online, so they're put off in other places of the web. So if you could actually identify, if Facebook was to implement a watermarking standard, you could actually identify that, it would actually be something in their terms of service where they could go and shut that channel down. But I mean, moving past just the Facebook Live stuff, I mean, I think that the more important elephant in the room is now cracked media players. A lot of these Chromecasts, you can crack the Kodi add-on with the piracy plugins, and these are all aggregating all different types of torrent sites, all different types of file lockers, and everything like that. They're aggregating it down into one simple user interface where you can search and select a movie or a TV show pretty much as it's airing or right after it's aired, all the way back probably until some of the first movies that were ever created. So, I mean, there's a large repository, and it's, like I said, it's aggregating across the web. And even if we take a look at something like that has actually driven piracy statistics down by about 6%, looking like on the movie side that we're actually doing really well and piracy is actually going down, when the reality is now we just have a new elephant in the room that needs to be addressed, and that's really drilling into these cracked media players and figuring out how to identify the source, where these files are streaming from, and shut them down so it doesn't appear in the aggregators, in the cracked media players.
We're actually getting close on time now, so I just want to check if anybody, if people got questions before we summarize anything. Any questions? Thanks. Must have been a fantastic presentation.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Just all went right in.
Yeah, it was all just sunk right in.
So I don't think we want to summarize where we should be with our heartbeat watermark and how that's going to work.
Well, I think having the heartbeat is part of an overall strategy and protecting the content and protecting the business model. So I think if we can get the industry to coalesce around that, we would all be better.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I mean, just having a standard for any of this type of stuff is great, because then we can all kind of play on each other's strengths, and we don't have to sit there and our companies don't have to divert tons of resources just to do watermark lookups. Just being able to instantly see, okay, this is worth the lookup. Okay, if not, we can put our time and resources into something else and actually stopping this as well as identifying it.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. If anybody does have any other questions or they come across an idea later on, you can always come and find us on the DWA stand behind you.
Yep, right behind.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Michael.
Gentlemen. Thanks, Scott.
And we are moving on to our next presentation. All right, awesome. Thanks again to Graham and the Digital Watermarking Alliance for putting together that great session.